to the NFL.
What up, party people in the house? It's Dynasty War Games on a Sunday afternoon matinee edition. If you're watching on live on YouTube, if not, we're coming to you on, I guess, a Wednesday on podcast. So I'm Jesse Schneeman. I'm your host. I'm here with my main man, Chad Mendoza. How you doing today, Chad? You're muted. How you doing today, Chad? Let's try that again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it feels kind of odd doing this on the weekend again, but I'm here. I feel refreshed and, you know, after a pretty long work week, but I'm ready to get into some fantasy football.
Right on, man. Glad you're enjoying your day off. Weather's been amazing here in Baltimore. How about Texas?
Yeah, it's been pretty great, man. It's not too hot, you know. Nice sunny weather though. It's been nice.
Right on. Cool. So we had a Patreon member, Ryan Chisel, ask us to review his team. All right, and this is something, obviously, this is our roots. This is where we started doing reviewing Patreon leagues on Patreon-only episodes. So I thought we'd go back, you know, to our roots a little bit and help him out and just know what we think and maybe a couple moves we might make to improve the team.
I like it. Let's do it. Cool.
All right, so it's one QB. One QB, start seven, half PPR, and next year they're adding a wide receiver starter. So he'll have to think about that maybe through the draft or whatever.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson is his starting quarterback. Backup is Trey Lance. That doesn't really matter. In one QB, you can find a backup quarterback anywhere. Ramondre Stevenson, Miles Sanders, J.K. Dobbins. He starts at running back. Wide receiver, it's Ja'Marr Chase, Pittman. Those are starters. He's also got DJ Moore, Tyler Boyd, Courtland Sutton on the bench. Mm-hmm. For running back depth, he's got Cordarrelle Patterson, Kareem Hunt, Devin Singletary, Jeff Wilson. Guys that you might be able to plug in on a bye week, but nobody you want to really have to count on, right?
Yeah.
Wide receiver, but depth is a little better. Sorry, you know what else I missed? He's got Drake London, and on his taxi, he's got Treylon Burks.
Yeah, he's very, very, very much ready for that wide receiver slot to be added.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't think he's going to have any worries there.
Right, yeah. So I figure he can sort of juggle DJ Moore, Pittman, London, Burks, between those for a second wide receiver spot. He can kind of juggle those guys around and maybe even into his flex spot if he gets injuries at running back.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't say anything about kicker and defense because we don't normally cover that.
We don't really care.
Yeah, my recommendation there is that you get rid of those spots in your league. So what do you think of this team overall?
I like it. I think for me, it has two main points of concern. One being the backup quarterback, which, as you said, is not really that big of a deal, except for if he's thinking that he is one of the stronger teams in the league. I don't know what the rest of the teams look like, but that drop off from Lamar Jackson to potentially nobody is a pretty big drop.
I would certainly have Tyler Huntley on my team.
Yes. And with Lamar Jackson, you know, being, a tad injury prone, you know, that should be a little bit of a concern. But, you know, it shouldn't be the hardest thing to get figured out. So,
right.
I guess we'll take that as it comes. But the running back situation, I think, is another one that it's just question marks all over, right? Like, there's no cemented guy there. And I think that could be the one area that really holds back this roster. You have guys like Ramondre Stevenson, Miles Sanders, J.K. Dobbins, who we all have, you know, particular hopes for in certain areas of their game, right? J.K. Dobbins maybe gets involved more in the passing game. Miles Sanders maybe finds a role there with Carolina, and he becomes their featured back and really kicks off a resurgence in his career. Ramondre Stevenson, if he can retain that role there and the role he had last season. But all of those things are still ifs.
Well, right? I want to push back on Stevenson a little bit. Not that I think he's amazing. I think he's a pretty good back. But he, without Damian Harris to challenge him for carries, you know, he's really only fighting with two really late round guys last year and James Robinson, who is on his third team since the start of last season. So, I mean, I think it's pretty reasonable to say that he's going to be the main guy, right?
I mean, I think it's reasonable to assume that. I think that's why it's his RB1, but I'm just saying right. There are question marks there.
Sure. Right? So, yeah, I mean,
you can say late round guys, but Ramondre Stevenson's still a mid fourth round pick in the NFL draft. It's not like
sure.
I mean, he was a mid to latish round guy coming out. So I mean, you just never know. And New England's backfield has never been something where they've cemented a guy and kept him for a long time. I'm just saying there are question marks there. Well, it's not something I'm going to feel really comfortable about.
Long term, I can see that. Ramondre's probably got a window of maybe 2 years. Like you're right that I highly doubt that he's going to get a second contract with the Patriots unless he wants to sign for something really, you know, below market. It's probably not going to happen. But for this year, I think it helps him in a title run, right? I think he might have a chance, right? He's got a few elite players if Lamar, but again, there are ifs. If Lamar goes back to MVP form in the new system, if he clicks with the new weapons, that kind of thing. Before we go any further, I forgot to mention he's got Hawk at his tight end. So I think that's also another – it's like a near elite piece. The problem is it's not a tight end premium league, right? So, and it's a half point PPR. So the impact of tight end overall is going to be limited a bit, muted, right? So having one of your higher assets as a tight end in a league like this, I don't think is probably not the proper distribution of assets if you want to do things ideally. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I would say, I really like the roster mainly because I think the two issues that I have with it are some of the more easily corrected, aspects of building a roster. I think with the running back situation, he can figure that out in season if something does happen, if it doesn't go quite the way he's thinking it's going to go. And then with the quarterback situation, with it being a one quarterback league, I mean, that's just always going to be, you know, easy to fix, especially with a team that has so many a deeper number of assets, especially at the wide receiver position. With the wide receiver spot being added, you're going to have guys, certain teams that think they're very competitive, or maybe they are very competitive, and they're, you know, saying, okay, I haven't really planned for this wide receiver spot. Maybe he can ship one of those guys out at an inflated price as well.
Right on. Yeah, I agree. I like the roster. I think he's got a chance to challenge for a championship. It certainly looks like a playoff team to me, because it's not only got a good lineup, but also pretty good depth to where you can either start one of these wide receivers if you need to on a week-to-week basis, or trade one, you know, for something that you need in season, you know, through injury or whatever happens. Do you have maybe one move that you would try to make with this team? I mean, other than backup quarterback, we said there is zero backup tight end as well. Not that that's of huge importance either. Yeah. But you want to have some depth beyond Parham and Brevin Jordan.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there like a major move you would make, or would it just be minor tweaks?
I think it's tough at this point to really get a feel for the move you would make, because I think he's in a comfortable situation at the moment.
Yeah.
Going into the season. But once he's in season, one thing that I would be keeping tabs on are maybe the less competitive rosters that even though some of them may think they're competitive, if he doesn't think that some of these guys are going to be competitive, once they get to that realization point around, I mean, what we say, like week five, basically, guys start figuring out.
Week six, if your season is disastrous so far. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you can go to some of those guys and start picking off their, you know, Nick Chubbs, guys like that, that maybe you're going to perform really, really well in the next season or two, and try to get them for, you know, a cheaper price than, you know, as you get closer to playoff time, it's
going to be quite a bit. I wouldn't wait too long though, because obviously prices go up the closer you get to the playoffs.
Yeah. Yep.
If it were me, I would explore. I might see if I could get a young running back for Burks. You know, if I could get Pierce plus, like a backup tight end that I like, maybe am I asking too much with like Pierce and Chick for Treylon Burks? Is that asking too much?
I think that's not asking enough.
That's not asking enough. All right. Pierce and Dulcich.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think that's a solid strategy for me though. I'd just rather wait and try to pick off somebody's older running back because he has the guys that, you know, could be cemented long-term options in Miles Sanders, Ramondre Stevenson, J.K. Dobbins if they work out. I think what he's missing is the known elite guy who's going to go in there and give him an RB one through maybe four season.
Gotcha. So whoever shakes loose out of Eckler, Mixon, Dalvin.
Yeah. Yeah. Those kind of guys.
Maybe even Saquon.
Whoever you can get the cheapest out of those guys for a team that's like, man, I need to get rid of these guys. You know, before week six, before you start getting into that realm where people are like, all right, we know the playoff teams. Let's try to get a super inflated price from those guys. That's what I'd be aiming for.
Okay. What about King Henry? Would he be on your list?
Yeah. And that's the benefit of waiting as well, is because you can see all those guys and see how they're doing over the course of the season, because maybe Derrick Henry goes into the season and struggles. Right. And then you're shit out of luck because this is all he's got. Right. If he's struggling this season, he's done. So, you know, you should know by week five, week six, barring, you know, catastrophic injury, who is carrying their form into the season and who isn't.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, cool. So Ryan, there's your roster review, a couple ideas of how to improve your roster, but overall, you're looking pretty good, bud. All right, so let's get into the meat of the show. I did my first really set of official Dynasty rankings. I always make rankings for myself that are very loose rankings, and these are pretty loose rankings as well. Pretty fluid. Things could change with these quite a bit. I'm waiting for some information, obviously, on some players. Like, there's unsigned running backs out there. Nuke is out there. Who the hell knows what's going to happen with him? I think we know he's not going to the Giants or the Cowboys, so I did see that report.
Yeah.
So, like I said, very fluid. But let's just start off and start talking through them, and you tell me where I'm wrong. What position do you want to start with?
Whatever you got, man.
All right, let's go QB. It's right here first on my list. I think the top five are pretty easy. Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Burrow, and Herbert. Any problem with any of those?
Let me pull up my list. Sorry, give me 1 second. Okay, so say them one more time.
Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Burrow, Herbert.
Yep. Except I have Burrow and Hurts switched for me personally.
Yeah, I have them even. So
yeah, I actually do too. I tried not to do that to you, but I actually have a 3 and a T next to both of them.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, right on. I didn't do that with it. I didn't tie in any of my rankings. I actually put a guy above. It's hard to do with those two, but I have Hurts listed at 3 just because of the rushing. But that also can be a negative because more higher risk of injury.
Yeah.
Burrow is so elite. Both of, you know, really they are neck and neck. Do you agree though that Herbert could also climb up and be like number 3?
Very easily. Yeah. I think I actually think there's a bigger group where I think for me that is a tier as well. But I think there is a larger group even below that where you're not surprised if they're finishing, you know, first, second, third, fourth, you know.
In season. I would say all the way up until like 14, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
All right. So my next five are Trevor, Tua. I know you're going to have a problem with that. Lamar, Deshaun Watson, and then Kyler. What do you think?
Interesting. Yeah. So
I don't have Fields there. I know that's controversial.
Yeah, I have Fields as my ninth at the moment. But I don't have Tua in my top 10. And I actually don't have Kyler in my top 10. Kyler's 11 for me.
Okay. Well, I mean, I have him 9, right? So that's
– yeah.
That's pretty close.
So I think those are really the only two that I don't have in there, but I'm not going to argue with Kyler. Tua, I just want to see it for another season. I have Kyler
10, so we're one spot different.
Yeah, so with Tua, I just want to see it for another season. I really, really, really like what he has there. The injuries are just a major concern for me. I know he's taking the, judo or whatever he's doing, to learn to fall. But it's him coming out and saying he contemplated retirement and all that kind of stuff. And, that stuff's just having the idea, even just the idea of being able to lose all of your value over the course of, one day, that scares the crap out of me. And just that by himself, it drops him for me.
So I would argue that you can make that same argument with the next four guys. So Tua, obviously, yes, all of your concerns are valid. Lamar, coming off two seasons where he played, I think, 13 games, and going into a new system that he may or may not thrive in. Deshaun Watson, obviously, huge questions there. Does he return to form or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Kyler, who is injured, is coming off of an ACL. So is he – there? You and I both think he'll come back to the player he was, but there's got to be some question in your mind.
Well, yeah, those – but for me, those question marks are the reason why they are where they are.
Mm-hmm.
For Tua, I think it's a little bit different losing all your value, right? Like, let's say he goes into the season, has two concussions. He's done. Like, he's done in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to play anymore, which is different than Lamar, missing 8 games this season. At least going forward, you might have to worry about him and get another, competent backup quarterback, just in case that happens. But, when he's on the field, he's going to give you QB1 output,
But Deshaun Watson could fall down to, if he doesn't perform, he could be, the 20th quarterback. I understand it's not all of his value, but his value could absolutely tank as well.
Yeah, I think it's – yeah, again, I think it's just the difference of being able to recruit some of that value. If you see him start to struggle and it scares you a little bit, then boom, you can get rid of him. If Tua gets one more concussion in season, let's say it's even week 8, right, and he goes out and has a concussion, nobody's going to touch him from you.
Oh, sure. You're absolutely correct. So if I were to move – take Tua from 7 and then move him down below, say, Fields, and put him at 12, because I have Fields at 11. Put Tua at 11 and then move everybody else up 1. Would you be more comfortable with that?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. Because I think the high end potential is definitely there. I'm with you on that. Right. It's definitely there. It's just, just a little bit of a scary asset at the moment.
I'm not going to do that. And in truth, those four players after – Trevor is a tier of his own for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a very safe, really upcoming quarterback that isn't quite at the level of Herbert and Burrow. Right? He needs to take another step to get there. So it's sort of a tier – but I don't have worries about him, but he's also not quite elite yet. Where the next four guys I have – I just went through all of my concerns with them, and they're all pretty major, though they're major concerns, but I guess I'm confident that each one will work through them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we go there.
Yeah. I would say so. Right.
Did you say you had Fields in your top 10 or no?
I do. I have Fields in my top 10 and I think I have 3 guys. I have 2 tied at 10, and then I have Fields at 9. So, I don't think any of those 3 guys are in your list.
All right. So, what are your 6 through 10?
So, my 6 through 10 is Lawrence at 6, Lamar at 7, Watson at 8, Fields at 9, Dak and Bryce tied at 10.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. I have those guys a little low.
Yeah.
So I have 11 Fields, 12 Russ, 13 Anthony Richardson, 14 Bryce Young, 15 your boy Danny Dimes. Mm-hmm. So I you notice I did not say the name Deck yet.
Yeah.
I have him below all of those guys.
Yeah, I think and Dak's the one guy I wouldn't push back. If somebody tells me they have Dak 15, you know, I get it. I understand.
I understand why.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why. I have him a little bit higher because I think the offense is just really good, and I think he's really good in the offense as a fantasy asset. But, you know, I mean, there's also similar to Kyler, there's those concerns where you're saying, okay, is he even going to be the Cowboys quarterback in, you know, 2 years? So
he's going to be somebody's quarterback in 2 years.
Yes, he will definitely be. And that's why I do have him where he is, because I think he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he is. He's good, not great. That's how
I see. Yeah. Which is that, you know, 10, 11, 12 kind of range, I think.
Well, the reason I have those five guys above him is because I think they all have better upside. I think all of those guys have a chance to be, you know, five through eight, you know, in at their absolute ceiling.
Yeah, I just if somebody came up to me and said, okay, same odds, who are you picking to finish in the top five this season as a quarterback finish? You know, Dak or Anthony Richardson. I'm picking Dak all day.
Yeah, I don't think Dak really has a top five finish in it. Whereas I don't think AR does this season, but he may in his future. It's not out of the question.
Right? Oh, what do you mean though? He doesn't have a top five. I mean, he's done it before.
Dak?
Yeah. Let me see.
I think it was in a year where he didn't have the competition he has now.
Well, it was in a year where he was healthy, is the thing.
Yeah, and he was propped up by – he had like 3 years in a row with six rushing touchdowns. It's not going to happen anymore.
Like yeah, his I just think it's more about the volume of the offense for me, how I think about it. I think it's just a good it's a good percentage passing offense, and – the pass options are just really good.
Are they? Yeah, Lamb obviously is really good. And then a rookie tight end, rookie and two second-year tight ends. Gallup, Tolbert?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm also higher on Lamb than you are, so.
Oh, I'm not low on Lamb. Actually, you are higher on Lamb. We'll get to that when we get to wide receivers. But, yeah, I am. I am lower on Lamb than most, I guess. But it's mostly, I guess, because of Dak. I see him as good, not great. He's a step above a facilitator.
Did Sleeper get rid of their finishing? They don't have anything on. Maybe it's just me. Okay. I go to history and they don't have where they finished in previous
seasons. It. All right, so Fields. Where did you have him?
Ninth.
Ninth. Okay, so you a couple two spots above me.
Yeah, so, which I actually want to put him lower. I want to put him lower. It's just the only thing that's making me prop him up. If I was going just purely off of what I think, he would be lower. The reason he's at nine for me is because I think his value is absolutely insane, and I think, you know, with him, the way he rushes the ball. It's probably going to stay that way for at least a little while, where you can get quite a bit in return for him. So for me, that's where he's going to be until, you know, I need to sell him. And I think he's going to really, really just take a nosedive down.
I think I'm probably too low on him. Yeah. I probably bump him up a couple spots. Yeah. I mean, because he's definitely got all the upside in the world. He could figure everything out and be QB1.
Yeah. And the thing, I mean, like I said, even if he doesn't, right, like there's going to be quite a big window for you to get a return on him no matter what, right? If he comes out of the gate struggling, there's always going to be those guys that are like, he's Justin Fields, he's going to do better.
So Dak had a QB2 finish, and it was not propped up by rushing touchdowns. He only had three. It's just 4,900 yards. And
he's had good. He's had really good, dependable fantasy seasons. She just has to stay healthy.
Yeah. And, you know, something that you and I love as NFC East fans, Cowboys haters, that doesn't matter in fantasy, but it does just show a little character. He can't win a playoff game.
Yeah.
He always seems to throw that interception when it really matters. I mean, again, it doesn't matter.
I don't want to put that on Dak, though. That's just the franchise as a whole.
Right? Yeah. Well,
I mean
that doesn't hurt my feelings when you say that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Dak didn't come in and it just drastically changed. You know, I thought Romo was a good quarterback and he couldn't do it either. So,
yeah, when's the last time they won? All right, let's go back to the ranks. Dimes, where do you have him ranked?
I didn't go past 10, so I'm not sure, but he would be in that probably, you know, 13 range for me. I'm pretty high on him.
Okay.
Probably so higher than most. So.
Okay, so I have him at 15, and I'm probably higher than most on him.
Yeah, yep. I actually I was talking to somebody. I don't want to say who, because I don't know if they want me to put this out there or not. But somebody from another podcast, and they had him at 24. That's wow. Not anything. So wow. I think some people are still really, really low on him.
That's a little blind to me. That's a little blind to the market. I'm very comfortable with him as one of my starters. He's not my anchor quarterback, you know, for a championship dynasty team, Superflex. But I'm real comfortable as a championship team with him as my QB2. Love that.
I mean, if you have him as your QB2 as a competing roster, I mean, you're better than most other teams because he's coming off of what, QB8 finish or something?
Yeah.
You know, and that was in a low percentage passing offense.
So, yeah, they've definitely added weapons this year.
Yeah, they've added weapons. They've added to the offensive line. They've added everywhere, really. They're trying to get him to where he can throw more touchdowns and leave that rushing option where it's been, you know, since Dable and them have come in. So
maybe Saquon can actually come off the field once in a while. They can put a competent running back in there and Eric Gray. Yeah. Crossing our fingers, and he can get up. He's not exhausted by the end of the game because you can't trust Matt Breida, you know?
Yeah. It's an offense built on crossers and Daniel Jones running the ball, which is great for fantasy, especially in six point rushing touchdown leagues, you know, which I think is going to be the vast, vast, vast majority of them.
All right, so let's round out the top 20 with Dak. We already discussed Stroud. I have 17, 18 Cousins, 19 Goff, 20 Geno. Any problems with any of those guys outside of Dak?
So let me go back to this and get it pulled up again. Sorry. Repeat them one more time for me, Wall.
Sure. 16 Dak, 17 Stroud, 18 Cousins, 19 Goff. 20 Geno.
Oh man. So yeah, for me, I have Geno higher.
Okay.
I didn't do a ranking past 10. So don't know how much higher. I would probably want to put him ahead of Cousins for me personally.
Okay.
I have
Cousins, Goff, and Geno are basically tied for me.
Yeah.
You could call them all 18.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because you don't really want to put him ahead of the rookies coming in just because from a value standpoint.
Right.
You know, they're going to retain value a lot easier than Geno is going to be. If Geno comes out of the gate struggling, I mean, for me, the way I do these rankings in my head is, you know, value loss is a big feature of it, right? Like if I think a player can lose value quickly compared to another player, then that's going to come into the ranking quite a bit, even if I think maybe the other player is better. So
yeah.
So Geno, I think that's the thing that gets him is if he struggles, he's just got this one season that's propping him up, and people are going to start getting scared, and they're going to start fading him, and it's going to be hard to sell him if that's something that you feel like you need to or want to do.
Well, Goff can be could be in the same position as well.
Yes, and so could Cousins, right?
Yeah, right.
So those are all reasons those guys scare me, and reasons why I would have, you know, the rookies slightly ahead of them.
Yeah.
Cool. Russ is another one that's in that same boat for me, though, personally. And I think that's just because he's coming off of the really poor season, where if he has another
– Yeah, super risky. Yeah,
if he has another really poor season, then, man, you're not getting anything for him.
Agreed.
You're not
Agreed. The upside and to me, percentage chance that he attains his upside are enough to put him above some of the other guys, just because I think it's pretty damn safe in my estimation that he you know returns the form. Peyton knows how to use him. The offense cooks, all that kind of stuff. I think it's high percentage chance that happens. However, you're right. There's a huge possibility that if it doesn't look right, and maybe it was Russ all along, then yeah, he's done. You're not getting shit for him.
So for me personally, I would be moving Russ probably behind Daniel Jones for me.
Okay.
So well, in your ranking, the way you have your ranking, I would have him around 15, 16. No, I probably have him around 16 or 17.
It's very fair. I guess we didn't discuss this before. Yes. But my ranking of Russ is very aggressive. It also, it's also sort of like what I did with some players last off season, where I thought they were easily acquirable and then would gain value in season. You could trade them.
Yeah.
I was right on some of them, not others, but Juju was one of those guys that to me was going to always be a little smoke and mirrors, and then get rid of him when you can. So this Russ thing, it may be good for a season or two or three, but it's still very sketchy to me, and at any time could go sour. So as soon as Russ really regains that value to where he's, you know, top 15 quarterback, trade him.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for diversifying your roster, right? Like if you have a lot of – if you look at your roster and you say, okay – my roster feels very safe, right? Like there's a lot of options that even if these guys do, like let's say your two other quarterbacks or your two quarterbacks are, you know, Herbert and Bryce Young, or Herbert and Richardson, or Herbert and Stroud, or Herbert and Fields, then maybe and the rest of your roster feels similar along those lines, where maybe they aren't that elite player, but which I mean, some of those guys are, but maybe the rest of your roster, even if it's not elite, it's very safe, where you say, okay, even if they struggle this season, they're going to hold their value. Then you can go and you can say, okay, I'm going to take a shot at Kyler. I'm going to go take a shot at Russ. And if they work out, you know, that's a lot of value gain that you can get over the course of just 1 year, where you can make up for maybe some bad trades you made, or maybe some value loss you had in another player. So I think those guys serve their purpose, but you can also get yourself in a lot of hot water if you just start collecting a ton of those guys and you have all of your vested interest tied into very risky players that can all lose their value overnight, basically.
Sure. All right. Good advice. Okay. So the next group of guys, basically, that's it for guys I'm comfortable going into a season as a starter, except for Aaron Rodgers. So I have Aaron Rodgers down at 24, but he's also kind of in the same tier, right? So I got Pickett 21, Mac Jones 22, Love 23, A-Rod 24, and then Stafford 25. I also have Jimmy G and David Carr as my next two in the same tier, as guys that you're probably looking at a two-year window for all these guys.
Yeah.
A-Rod will most likely perform the best out of any of them points-wise, but you also have a huge chance that this is his last season. Same with Stafford. This definitely could be his last season. I'm more comfortable with him points-wise than the other guys, but the younger guys, I think I'm more comfortable with them having at least a two-year window, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Any of those guys stand out to you that you would rather have than the others?
Yeah, so Mac Jones is a guy that I have substantially lower than you do.
Okay.
So for me, he's probably going to be in the late 20s.
Late 20s, okay. So after like Ridder and Howell and those guys?
Yeah, I think right in the same boat as those guys for me. I think
it's fair. It's fair. If he doesn't do something soon in this offense, they're going to replace him.
Yeah.
But if he clicks with Bill O'Brien, which, you know, he had Matt Patricia as his goddamn offensive coordinator last year. So I cut him a lot of slack for that. He's got to perform this year or he's done.
Yeah. And I think also in this range, this is the range for me, like where I'm looking at guys who I think can gain a lot of value. And I'm willing to be more risky in this range.
Yeah.
So guys like Stafford, I'm taking a risk on because I think in season, if he does come back to form, he's a guy you can profit off of really easily.
Yeah.
Ridder in a really good offense with a lot of weapons around him. I think that's a guy who, if he comes in, does really well. He's a guy that is going to gain a lot of value overnight. Levis, because I like him and because he's a rookie quarterback who we know they wanted to trade into the first round to get, but just couldn't. I think that counts for something for me. So, you know, with him there at 29 with Brock Purdy, I mean, I think that's a potentially a great value gain. Guys like Carr, A-Rod, those are guys I'm not really wanting to touch.
If
I don't already have them on my roster.
Right, I'm not going after them. They're QB3s. Yeah. Probably not worth the price I'd have to pay for them.
Yep. And then, you know, those guys that you have in the high 20s, I think, like I said, Mac Jones, I'd drop. Pickett and Love are interesting ones because I think those are guys that I want maybe one or two shares of, but I don't want to be overly saturated with those two guys.
Sure.
Yeah,
I have two Loves. I traded my third. I'm comfortable with two shares of it.
Yeah.
He is going to get a long leash, though. You know, you're definitely getting a two-year window out of him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that to be the case for me.
Do you really personally think that they can, you know, like as a franchise say, oh, shit, we were wrong after 1 year?
I think if they struggle, they're going to have the draft capital. And that's the thing. Okay. So if they struggle, not only are they going to have the draft capital from them, but if Rodgers plays most of the season, they're going to have the Jets pick as well. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So
low-key, they could have a very, very shitty season, by the way. I don't think a lot of people are throwing that out there that they're possibly, they could be like the worst team in the league. It's possible.
It's possible.
With all the youth, it could just not click.
Yeah. We just have no idea how that's going to look. So, I mean, if the Packers really struggle this season, you just think of all the success this team has had for so long now with going from Favre to Rodgers. I don't know what their appetite is for, you know, shitty seasons, right? Like that fan base is not going to let that happen for too long.
That's true. Yeah. All right. I still think that he's got it. Well, yeah. If they're that bad and they got the 101 or 102, it'd be real hard to pass on. You know, we think there's some big time quarterbacks coming out. So.
Yep. Yep. And then you never know as well. Like maybe they have, you know, even if they have the 106, 107, 108, right? And they have that extra first round pick from the Jets. Then you're talking about, you know, maybe a team like, and this is all, of course, hypothetical, but maybe a team like the Bears this past season where they have a quarterback in place, but they just sucked.
Cardinals.
Right? The Cardinals, right? Which I think the Cardinals might take a quarterback.
They would have to trade Kyler to do it.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, a team like that gets in that position where they're not going to make the pick at, you know, with May Caleb Williams. So then they go and they trade that pick and the Jets have Packers have the capital to move up. So there's just, I don't know. I mean, the situation just scares me a little bit to have too many shares of Love, I guess is where I'm getting at.
I hear you. Yeah. Right on. Do you think I have Lance too low at 32 next to Purdy?
I don't know because he's just a guy that
scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, he scares me. He's another guy that I just want to.
What's that?
I'm definitely approaching Lance owners and seeing where their head's at, right? Because there's some guys that have been trying to trade him for like two seasons now and haven't been able to, but they're holding on. And I just want to see where their breaking point is, like where they're – if they're just like, okay, I'm just going to hold and just see what happens and let it play out, or if they're like at the last moment, you know what, I need to recoup something. But
I'm there. Like I need to recoup something, but I'm not destined. So I had three shares. One of them I also have Purdy. So I decided to hold. I'm just going to take those two guys, and out of one of them, I'll get a quarterback. I paid a late second, 209 for Purdy. I thought that I'd rather do that than panic sell Lance. Then the other team, I did sell him for 108 and took Kincaid and was happy and am still happy with that.
Yeah.
I would do that all day. And the other team, he's sitting there as my third quarterback, and I'm shopping around for a third quarterback, to be honest. I'm not going to just trade him for a second, but I don't think I can get a first for him at this point. You know, with the reports that Purdy's, you know, on track and still the starter and all that kind of shit. And it doesn't look like they're going to trade Lance now. And even if they did, does he have time to really learn the offense and look good, you know, on a new team? It doesn't look good for Lance if he doesn't, unless he is just better than Purdy, fingers crossed, he's got the pedigree. If he's better than him and just beats him out in camp, you know, or it could just be sort of lip service that, you know, they can't say that Purdy's not the starter after the way he played last year, but they really do view Lance as the starter. I don't think that's the case, though. After Lynch's last comments that they went through the tape from last season and that Purdy really executed the offense within structure, out of structure, and that he did it at a high level. That's not something you say it's about somebody that just kind of held down the ship for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think it's impossible to know what's going to happen in this situation, and it's another one of those losing your value overnight, right? Like that's going to be what it is with this situation. Somebody's going to lose a lot of value, and if I'm not in that game right now, I don't know that I want to get in that game.
No,
you know, well, I don't want
to. You're poking around. What would you give one of those people that you're asking about Lance?
Second,
just a second, yeah,
just a second, nothing more.
If I thought it was going to be like it had a good chance to be like 201 or 202, I might.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, for a mid to late second, I might as well hold.
Yep.
All right. Are we good with quarterback? I mean, I have Tannehill last at 33. He's like, I don't want to start him for shit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a solid, you know, QB3, QB4 on your roster. You know, just a guy to have on there for the season.
Howell and Ridder, I like Ridder better than Howell. I don't have a lot of hope for either of them. I think they both could get replaced easily.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to do running back, tight end, or wide receiver next?
Shoot, whatever you want.
All right, running back. JT, Bijan, Brees, Saquon, CMC.
I have CMC and Saquon switched, but the order is virtually the same for me.
It was very difficult for me to decide between those two.
Yeah.
I think Saquon, I mean, he's got an injury history, but I think he makes it through a season more easily than CMC.
Yeah, I feel more comfort with the CMC contract, with Saquon's contract situation. It kind of scares me. Although it could be a good thing, right? Like he could end up in a really good offense, and we're not really worried about it. But
people annoyed the shit out of me with the way he used Saquon last year. We use him for a half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the tough thing too is he gave Saquon so much, you know, so many snaps. You know, if he goes into an offense where he doesn't see that snap count, then it could be something that's not so great. But I don't know. It's just his future's kind of up in the air right now. CMC seems a little bit more stable. So I just put him ahead of Saquon.
Okay. It's a fair argument. I can't really argue against it, so I'm good with that. Top three, you're good? You don't have Bijan above JT?
No, I'm actually tempted to put Brees ahead of Bijan.
I would be too if not for the injury.
Yep. So that's where I'm at as well, because of the injury, Bijan's the guy, and because of that Falcons offense being so heavily reliant on the run game.
Yeah,
I think Bijan's probably going to be, you know, if not the RB2, then the RB1. So
yeah, I expect Bijan to be the RB1 by October.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know why. Maybe it is just a little bit of a bias, but just because I like Jonathan Taylor and I think he's a good player, but he just feels like a safer option than the rest of these guys for me.
I think he's the safest option in fantasy football at running back. Yeah. He's the safest. That's how I feel about it. Last year was a fluke. You know, the last two seasons really have been just ridiculous with their quarterback play.
Yeah, it's been awful.
All right, so six I have Josh Jacobs. I know we're going to differ a lot on these next five, so I want to get into it a bit. Six, Jacobs. Seven, Najee. Eight, Ken Walker. Nine, ATN. 10, Dobbins. What do you got?
Najee is outside of my top 10.
Okay.
Etienne is probably ahead of Kenneth Walker for me. Interesting. I'd leave the rest.
Oh, okay. Cool. I thought we would be way different than that. So who do you have in there for Najee?
Let's see. Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
That
was my note to you before the episode. Like, if you're going to tell me somebody's not a top 10 running back, then who is?
You know, I'm going to go out on a wing here. I'm going to move Najee. I'm just going to slide him out of there. And at 10, I'm going to put Javonte.
Okay. I mean, I have Javonte at 13, so that's not. And then where do you put Najee? Where do you slide him in?
Right behind Javonte Williams for me.
Okay, so 11.
Yep.
Okay, cool. We're pretty similar. I expect Javonte to come back. It's just that really what bugs me a little bit with him is that it was two ligaments in the knee. It wasn't a clean ACL. But the reports are good. He's ahead of schedule and he's at OTAs. So I like that a lot. But let's go back to the top 10. You have ATN over Ken Walker. I'm going to give my case and then you give yours. So I just think Seattle's a better offense. Mm-hmm. I think they're both really good offense, but I see it. Seattle's going to be I don't know what the heck just happened. Okay. Sorry, my computer freaked out. Seattle's going to be an elite offense, in my opinion. I think they're going to be one of those boats that just sails down the field on a constant basis. They're going to be up there with the Eagles, the Niners. They're just going to be one of the class teams of the NFC.
I'll tell you what, just based off of the beginning of this argument right here, you better move Geno up. I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, that's true, but they're a more run centric team, and that's really the base of my argument is Seattle is going to run the ball.
If they're going to be that much better than they were last year, then Geno's got to play better, and Geno played really, really, really good this past season.
Well, they have better weapons. You know, they added JSN and Sharp, and they upgraded their offensive line. Don't get me wrong. I think the Jags are going to be a boat as well. Their offense is really up and coming. Yeah. But, I mean, didn't Ken Walker have a better year than ATN last year? They're both sort of in the same position where they're establishing themselves as a starter, not really getting all the carries in the beginning. But Ken Walker had 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. I understand that he's got competition with Sharp, but so does ATN with Tank.
ATN had a better season by, like, 3 fantasy points.
Okay. All right, so they're right there with each other. And the offenses really are right there with each other. So, I guess I can't fight it. You know, they're very similar circumstances. I think it's more that Seattle is just a more run-centric team. What's your argument for ATN over KW?
I just have more faith in the offense in Jacksonville because I think the players are better overall. The
quarterback's better for sure.
Yeah, the quarterback's better. I think ETN is a better player than Kenneth Walker personally. I'm marginally, but I think it's fairly right close. There. It's fairly close, but I would for fantasy purposes, I just like Etienne's game. It's going to depend on the usage, obviously, but I really, really, really like what he can do in the pass game, and I always think that's a fairly safe floor. And then the wide receivers, I just really, really, really like Calvin Ridley. I really like Christian Kirk. I think, yeah, maybe they're not as good as
DK, JSN, and Lockett.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say that.
It's close.
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy to say that Kirk and Calvin Ridley, if Calvin Ridley can come back into the league and be the player he was before he left.
They're saying he looks every bit the player he was.
Yeah, I don't doubt it because his game is predicated on nuance and route running. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say the Jacksonville receiver core is going to have a better season than the Seattle core. I don't know. But anyways, I just think the offense – I think they're going to be very similar offenses in their statistical output. I just like the passing production as kind of a safety measure in ETN's game a little bit more. I think they're both in that kind of question mark boat with Tank and Sharb there. So that adds a little bit of question mark. But yeah, it's rough. It's rough. It's tough with those guys to know what's going to happen. They're guys I'm not super, super excited about, to be honest with you, if they're on my roster, just because their value is so high. And the potential for value loss is there with both of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So.
Gotcha. All right, moving on to the – and I actually think that they're acquirable. Well, Ken Walker, in theory, I haven't actually been able to do it. ATN. I've been able to acquire it at a cheap rate, but I've gone over that in the last couple shows. So we're gonna move on from those guys a little bit and go through the next five. I have 11 Ramondre, 12 Swift, 13 is Javonte Williams, 14 I have Gibbs, which is way different than the market. Did you know the market basically has him at RB5?
Yeah, and I don't
get it.
Actually,
he's a part. He's a player that hasn't seen the field yet. That's crazy to me.
I would actually put him up there. I think I completely forgot about Gibbs. I wouldn't put him at five, but he would probably slide in at seven for me, if I'm being completely honest.
And after him, rounding out the top 15, I have Damian Pierce. So, Gibbs at seven, huh? Make the argument.
Yeah, it's not really an argument for Gibbs. I think Gibbs is a really talented player, but it's not really an argument for Gibbs as much as it is an argument against everybody else.
Wow. I mean, guy, like Najee is the guy in that offense. They
Najee is not a very talented player to me.
They upgraded their offensive line. He looked a lot better once he got over the foot injury late in the year. He's not as talented, but the opportunity is there.
Yeah, but I think you can only bet on opportunity so long. If that's the case, then give me Chubb at his price. If that's the case, give me Eckler at his price. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not paying for somebody to have a really good season this year. I'm paying for somebody to be my long-term option at running back, at least for the next 3 years, if I'm paying, you know, RB7 prices.
Gotcha. Najee was taken in the first round, so he's
– Yeah, but he's 25.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an older prospect. You're right. The foot may be a reoccurring injury as well.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, for me at running back, right, I'm saying, okay, I think it's absolutely crazy to pay RB6, RB7, RB8 prices for Najee when you can get, with your rankings, Akers at RB20. I think that's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, Dalvin, if he finds a home – that suits him at RB21 prices, right? If you can get any of those guys that cheap, then that's where I'm heading all day long. I'm not paying that for Najee with the question marks that he has. I'm not paying, you know, RB6, RB7 prices for Kenneth Walker. I'm not paying RB6, RB7 prices for ETN. Right. I'm just not doing it.
Would you give Christian Watson a second and a third for any of those guys?
I think that's very close. I think it's very close. Christian Watson, I do like him, but with the Love situation, it makes it
and it's a really huge question mark.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, his production year one is very, very promising. Like if you look at, you know, his statistical output as a rookie wide receiver, it lines up very well for him to be a productive player going forward. It's just one of those things that, you know, you don't know how that offense is going to look, and it could look really, really, really bad. And I mean, situations do ruin players.
His production was fairly, not completely touchdown dependent, but to a degree.
But that's his game though. That it's different if like it was just like it was the whole offense was designed for him to get touchdowns, and they put him in that position. Like that's his game. His game is big play. It's similar to DK, right? Like if you took DK's big plays away, he's done too.
Okay, but it's also similar to Chase Claypool's first year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can make a case for and against. So that's what I'm saying. Like there are, you know, outliers going either way. It's just for a player to find that success in his first year, it bodes well for his success going forward.
It does, but not as much as an established running back, Etienne, for example. So the second and third on top of that to me is a cheap price to pay for a player that you can plug in when you have to start two running backs. If you only have to start one running back, I don't know.
What happens if ETN has the same season he had this past year?
I'm happy with him as an RB2.
His value is going to fall, though. His value is going to fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's being priced as a high RB1 or a mid RB1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if I'm not paying that, then I don't care.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just the alternative options for me when it comes to these running backs.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's go. We already talked about Javonte. Do you have any problem with Swift in the top 15?
No, he's an interesting one for me. I mean, you probably know more because – you know, you're the resident expert on the Philadelphia Eagles, but
he's going to have a huge role.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that could see a pretty big value increase.
If Penny is healthy, Swift is still going to have a huge role, and it's going to be split backs, you know, that they're going to split time. I think Penny will get a lot of the short yardage, red zone kind of stuff, but Swift will also get catches in the red zone, and Swift, they're really kind of featuring him in OTAs as a receiver and raving about how smooth he is and how we've never had a back that looks like him in the receiving game. So it's just going to be a different element to our game. Our coaches have shown that they'll do whatever on offense, whatever that they think will work. They're not going to be pigeonholed into a type of offense. And so really, he's going to be a nice producer. Like I said, solid RB2 all day, top 15, as long as he's healthy. But you can say that about any running back. Yeah. If he's not there, he's got the chance to just explode. He's still not going to get 20 carries a game, but he'll get more carries than he would.
Yeah, the thing is, he doesn't need 20 carries in that offense.
Right. But as it stands now, he's, you know, 5 to 10 carries and a bunch of targets. Without Penny, he might get 10, 12 carries.
Yeah.
So really his effect on the Eagles offense though, is that I think he's going to sap some of the other players' value. There's not going to be as much to go around for AJ Brown, Devonta and Dallas. To be honest, like as an Eagles fan, I'm ecstatic, but as an owner of those players, not as much.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works out.
Yeah. You okay with Pierce at 15?
Yeah. Yeah, I just
– I mean, solid as fuck RB2.
Yeah, I Man, I just don't have a really good opinion about any of these guys. Like, because
he's an excellent player with awesome contact balance. Yeah, he is the same size as Miles Sanders, Swift. Like, they're the same profile. Like,
yeah,
profile. Not quite height. Swift is really short, but like I listed it last week. Oh, here I have the list right here. Aaron Jones, Miles Sanders, Cam Akers, Dobbins, Pollard are all around the same size.
Yeah, Pollard is a guy I just don't understand how you don't have him in your top 20.
Where do I have him?
I don't know.
Oh, shit. It's because I forgot to rank him.
I was looking at that, and I was like, oh.
All right, where are we putting Pollard? Where would you have him?
I mean, for me, he's probably in that, you know, 12, 13, 14 range.
I cannot put him above Javonte or Gibbs.
Yeah, well, I have Javonte higher, so but yeah, he's right there around Swift for me. I think very similar boat.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna slot him in behind Javonte at 14. Yeah. Probably a little low. Actually, I think I'm gonna put Swift there. I'm gonna move Javonte up to 12.
Yeah, the other one that I probably am sliding in there is Eckler. Just because of what I know I'm probably gonna get from this season. I think that's
just for a one season thing.
Yeah, just banking on one season and knowing like if I'm paying RB, you know, 14 prices for Eckler, that's fine if I need him, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Out of all those guys, I do like him, but I don't put a lot of stock in like a one season guy.
Yeah, it's just for me. Like for me, if you're paying, you know, RB 14 through, you know, 25, like I'm not really banking on any of these guys for more than one season. You know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm guaranteed to have this guy pass one season.
I guarantee to have anybody pass one season, yeah. But I think Pierce would be the iffiest, but I still think there's a 3-year window on him.
Yeah. Yeah, I just look at any of these guys and they're all replaceable. Like they're all just replaceable. So I mean, Swift replaceable, Javonte theoretically replaceable, Pierce replaceable, Sanders replaceable, Mixon replaceable, Eckler replaceable, Henry replaceable. Like they're just all replaceable.
I mean, Ramondre definitely is as well. So.
Yeah, Ramondre replaceable. And that's the thing with this tier is it's just like, man, I just want the cheapest guy I can get that's playing well at the moment.
That's fair. So I have Akers down at 22 now that I adjusted my rankings, and A-Chain right above him. Would you have either of those players above any of those guys we just mentioned? That whole big tier of who the fuck knows RB2s?
The only guy that I could make a case for me personally being way ahead of where you have him actually and breaking into that top 21 is Rashad White.
Okay.
Because he's a guy that I think – I mean, he's obviously, I just think everybody is replaceable past that top group of guys. But he's a guy that I say, okay, I can definitely see a future with him on the books for the next 2 or 3 years.
I have him all the way down at 31.
Yeah.
Number one, because I don't believe in the talent all that much. Number two, I don't believe in the offense at all. I think they're going to suck.
Yeah.
And number three, I just believe that they're going to bring somebody in this season to take carries away from him. And that person could be Sean Tucker, by the way.
Yeah.
I think Sean Tucker has a lot more talent than Rashad White. I just don't know if he's going to be able to play football.
Yeah, man, I just don't believe in any of these guys. The other guy for me that I think I'm a little bit higher on than some other people is James Cook. So I probably wouldn't have him. No, definitely wouldn't have him in the top 21, but he falls out just outside of it for me.
Okay. He's actually very undervalued right now. He's like going around a 10 in DTC. So yeah. I think
what's that, like an early second?
Yeah. Right. Or two future seconds.
Yeah.
That's worth a shot in that offense. He showed promise. He's now at the point. Well, he was at the point last season too. During his early season value dip where I'll buy him.
Yeah. They're just not making a very concerted effort to replace him. So, I mean, that was the scare, right? And the scare's kind of passed at this point.
Well, they spent a second rounder on him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is
– they like him.
You're looking at it and you're like, okay, they didn't really use him that heavily in his first year, but it did improve some as the season went along. And then you're like, okay, maybe they bring in a guy in the offseason in free agency. Didn't do it. Maybe they go ahead and draft a guy in a really strong running back class.
Well, they did bring in Damian Harris. Not that I think he's
– I said they didn't bring in a strong player in
free agency. Well, no, he is – quite literally a strong player.
Yes, he's literally a strong player. But I mean, he's literally not a good player.
Yeah.
So
I don't think he's as bad as you're making out to be. I think Damian Pierce is a good player. He's brought in to play a specific role, and he's not going to take the touches that James Cook was going to have away from him. So they didn't bring in a top tier player, and they didn't spend any draft capital on a running back. So yeah, they're signaling that they took him there for a reason, and they're still going to use him the way they always envisioned. So, yeah, I like James Cook at his cost right now quite a bit.
Yeah,
I sold him off for a first round value at the end of last season, so I don't really have any anymore.
When are we done with these running backs? Is what I want to know.
Is that all you want to talk about? There's nobody else that even interests you. They're all really. Jacked.
Just whoever you can get cheap.
Yeah.
You know, in your respective leagues.
Right on. Okay. So you're way different than when I talked about this with Brian Ford on Dynasty Fever with his rankings. And Brian's like, he wanted to go 70 deep. And he wanted to argue between Pacheco and Monty, who I have right next to each other.
Oh God. Yeah, no, in season, I'm like,
Brian.
Like, literally, running back is the one position where in season, it's just going to shuffle. Like, you're just going to throw all the pieces on the ground and scatter them about, and you're going to figure it out from there. Because it's not going to make sense when we get in season. Running back is not going to make any sense.
Well, none of it is. None of this.
No. But, I mean, with wide receiver, at least it trends quite a bit. Like, you can, you know, the good players tend to stay good for a long time. If you're not in that top tier of running back, you're either gone in 3 years or – you know, you're just not the same player.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. All right, man. All right, I'm happy to cut it off. We're at 1:07, and we can do tight ends and wide receivers next week.
Yeah, that sounds perfect, man.
Okay, awesome. So congrats again on the new baby. Good luck at the new job. You know, ride that shit long and hard. You're never going to do it.
Never going to do it. But thank you for the sentiments.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All the best for your family. We can't wait to get Mike back. Mike Casper's still playing war games somewhere in an undisclosed location. Should be back in July. Until then, we're going to hold the fort down. We're going to tell you what to do and what not to do. And you're either going to listen to me or not. You should always listen to chat. Anyway, so we're going to be going live on Sundays going forward. We should be released on Wednesdays on the Dynasty Warzone feed, part of the Player Profiler Network. Thank you all for listening, and we are out.
Later.
When we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
A game yesterday, and if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.